Good morning, Jeff O'Brien. It makes me sad that the media doesn't cover these things. I don't know why they leave. I know why they leave out these relevant details, but I also don't know why they leave out these relevant details. Lawyer extraordinaire. Maybe if I had enough money, we could sue them all. Okay, I'm just going on a rant. Good morning, Jeff. Oh, hold on. There we go. Now I got you.
I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning, buddy. All right, let's get into this. Also a story that local media is not talking about, apart from Alpha News, so hat tip to them as well. Liz Collin will be joining me coming up at 8:30 this morning. We'll get into further details of this, but you have an interesting angle. There's a lawsuit filed in federal court. A white Minnesota farmer is suing Governor Tim Walz and the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Agriculture for racial discrimination. So there's a grant. Farmers can qualify, $15,000 under this down payment assistance program. He applied for it, and he initially was placed in line. He was like at number, he was
number
up,
nine.
Number nine. And yet the state put in these equity rules. Emerging farmers are defined as aspiring farmers who are women, veterans, persons with disabilities, American Indian or Alaskan Natives, members of the community of color, young, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, asexual, LGBTQ plus IA, or urban, and any other emerging farmers as determined by the commissioner. And he went from ninth in the state lottery and then was dropped down to 102 on the wait list.
Yep. They essentially reshuffled the deck.
That's incredible.
Yeah,
that is absolutely incredible.
I was reading that emerging farmer definition. As far as I can tell, there's only one category of human being that is eliminated from that definition.
And that's this guy.
Yeah.
This white farmer.
Yeah. Heterosexual white males are not considered emerging farmers. Everybody else. If basically not that is an emerging farmer.
So before we get into just briefly, sort of your thoughts on how strong of a case he has, you have an angle on this, though, relating to the social equity scoring. And I guess potentially the impact of this lawsuit could go and have an impact on our Minnesota cannabis law.
Yeah, John, this emerging farmer definition is woven into the social equity applicant definition within the cannabis statute as one of the criteria that basically what happens is for these cannabis licenses, it's not going to be everybody that qualifies gets one. It's going to be the state determining how many. And if there's more applicants than licenses, which there will be, then the state has it. The statute sets out a scoring system and 20% is afforded towards social equity applicant. So this same issue is going to come up. Someone is not going to get a license, a cannabis license of some type, and is likely going to be watching this case, because if this one, depending how this one goes, that portion of the cannabis law might be open to challenge, and it very well could be. And I was just on a call there was a webinar with the Office of Cannabis Management last night, and there, you know, the governor's proposed accelerating the license process for social equity applicants. So now we're talking about giving a further preference. So, yeah, this case is going to have implications for any statute, any program, any statute that predicates itself with this emerging farmer concept, and including cannabis law. So it's going to be one to watch, definitely.
What kind of, I guess, in getting out ahead of this, I mean, what kind of justification is the state going to have in having this type of discrimination? I mean, listen, I'm trying to use common sense, but apparently, according to an editorial in the Star Tribune, we can't use common sense anymore, be that as it may. I mean, this seems like blatant discrimination. So what potential argument could you see the state using to do this?
John, it's along the same lines of the arguments that were used to support race-based preferences in college admissions, that it was being done to correct a historical injustice. Right. So that, you know, arguably that, well, we haven't had, in this case, there aren't as many farmers of certain demographic groups. So we want to give preference to encourage that diversity amongst our farming community. I mean, that could be the argument. Right. That's the same thing that they're trying. That was the same argument they used free years on affirmative action with college admissions. The problem is the Supreme Court ruled on that last year and tossed that idea and said that, you know, I think the quote from the case is, distinctions between citizens solely because of their ancestry are by their very nature odious to a free people whose institutions are founded upon the doctrine of equality. That principle cannot be overridden except in the most extraordinary case. I'm quoting out of the Students for Fair Admissions case, the Supreme Court case from last summer. And this is in fact, this lawsuit has been brought in federal court, meaning that this could ultimately end up in front of the Supremes. And I'll be curious to see how far they extend that ruling on the college admissions into the, you know, other areas of our society, including these preferences that are set aside for different groups, for government contracts, for grants, for licenses, all of these things. So I think that's the larger issue here, is what could be next, depending on this, on the decision in this case.
Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, thank you for the time this morning, sir, and the short notice. I greatly appreciate it, and I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day.
Thanks for having me on, John. Talk to you later.